Thank you for joining us today. For more information about the church, campus locations, service times, and more, visit ecoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at ecoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Come on, if you're ready for the word today, shout, I'm ready. Oh, come on, if you're ready for the word today, shout, I'm ready. Come on, I like it, I like it. Come on, we are ready for the word of God today. We're ready to experience what he has. There's been this question that's been on my mind today, and or really this whole week, and it's been in my spirit. Last Sunday, during the worship time, I shared a scripture verse, and this scripture verse was from Ephesians chapter 1, and it's just been you ever read something and you just can't get it out? You read something, you just can't move from it. And there's a question that's come from the scripture verse, and it's this: what if we as believers understood the power of God that was in us? I mean, really begin to think of that. Begin to think what would happen if we as believers understood the power of God that was in us. What could happen in the world? What could happen in our communities? What could happen and be different in the world? But maybe let me make it more personal. What would be different in your life if you were able to fully understand the power of God in us? If we truly believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, if we believe the same power that flowed through Jesus to heal the lame, the blind, and the lepers was actually in you and I believe that we would actually see what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14, where Jesus makes this statement in John 14 that you, as Christ's followers, will do greater things than even he did. That's a statement that'll just blow your mind. So what would happen if we as believers understood the power of God that was in us? And it's my prayer as a pastor, my prayer as a Christ follower, that the people of God would recognize the power of God that is in us. You know, this isn't like a new prayer. Paul is actually praying in Ephesians 1. We're going to read it in a moment. For the church of Ephesus and the early church to understand the power of God that was for them and with them. Yeah. So flip over to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. We're going to read it today. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. I want to take this statement that Paul makes and just focus on it for a minute. He says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. See, for Paul to actually make this statement would have to mean that there were those in the early church that did not fully understand or maybe even believe in the power that raised Jesus from the dead was actually in them. That there was actually something missing in the tradition and in the early church at Ephesus where they weren't fully understanding and comprehending the power of God. Does it remind you of anybody? Maybe the 21st century Christians, that maybe we don't quite fully understand that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Because how would our world look different? How would society look different? See, there's many today that believe in a power that saves, but not a power that heals. A power that makes you feel good, but it doesn't actually deliver you from your circumstance. A power that brings enlightenment, but it doesn't actually redeem your soul. I've come to let you know that the same power that was in Jesus is in you. And there is power in you that is the same power that was in Christ Jesus. It's not a timid power. It's not a shy power, a small power, but it's the power of God that raises the dead. It's the power of God that heals the sick, that opens the blinded eyes, the power of God that can change your world. Amen. It's my prayer, Lord, that we may understand today the power of God in us. See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4:20, says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it's living by God's power." We got a lot of people in the church that like to talk. Come on, somebody. But what we need is not more talk. We need the power of God in our midst. We need the power of God in our lives. The kingdom of God isn't a lot of talk. It's actually living in God's power. And Paul is writing to us today like he wrote to the church of Ephesus 2,000 years ago. I believe he is saying this. It is my prayer that you would understand the power that God has for us. Here in Ephesians 1 is the only place in the Bible that I could actually find that not only uses one word for power here, but it uses four synonyms straight back to back to back to back to describe the power of God in us. So what Paul's doing is he's trying to get something to us. He's trying to relay something to our lives. In essence, what he's doing is he's going, there is power, 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 power that God has given the believers. And the four Greek words for power here used by Paul are this: dunamis, energia, kratos, and ischios. And he's going, I wish you could understand the power, 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 power that God has for you. I mean, I want to understand it. I mean, I want to understand this kind of power. We're going to look in detail about these four different words about power so that we can understand the power that has been given to us. Why do I think that many people don't operate in the power of God? It's because we don't understand what has actually been gifted and granted us and actually lives in us through the Holy Spirit. We don't actually understand what it means to have the power of God in us. So Paul deliberately says four different words to give a description of what he's talking about. The first word is this: dunamis. Say this after me. Say, dunamis is in me. Dunamis. One more time. Say, dunamis is in me. Now listen, as Pentecostals, we love this word. We love this dunamis word. We preach sermons on it time and time and time again. And dunamis is this: it's miraculous power, might, and strength. It's actually used over 120 times in the New Testament to talk about the power of God. It's frequently used. And dunamis was an important word, and it was so important in the expansion of the early church, and I believe it's still important for God's church today. See, a church that was birthed in God's power must be sustained in God's power. Come on, if we were birthed in the power of God, in the dunamis of God, the church of Jesus Christ in 2020 has to be sustained by the power of God. See, dunamis is actually where we get our English word dynamite from. It's dynamite power. I love this imagery because what he's saying is there is dynamite power within you. Come on, as a believer, you got dynamite power within you. And as I was preparing this week, I went and I put like uses for dynamite. you know, and just like Googled like the uses for dynamite. And there were two things that above all else, besides having fun on July the 4th for all of us guys, that dynamite is used, right? Is for mining and it's for land clearing. Like if there's, anybody remember, if you've been in Ocoee a long time, remember the ugly pink, what was it, the timeshare over off of 50, I think it was maybe McGuire, was it, that was standing for years and vacant? Well, about, what was it, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, we saw that thing come down. Why? Because there was dynamite power that brought it down. Dynamite is used to change the landscape of environments. And I want you to know the power, the dunamis that is in you is meant to change the landscape around you. That there is God power, there is dunamis power inside of you to change the landscape around you. Dunamis power looks at the landscape of impossibility that surrounds the believer and longs to see those impossibilities bow at the feet of Jesus. Dunamis power is a power that sees the lame walk. Dunamis power is a power that sees deaf ears open. Dunamis power is a power that sees people give their life over to God and radically change their life. Dunamis power is a power that saves the addict and revolutionizes their life. Dunamis power is a power that changes the landscape. Anybody in here ever experienced some dunamis power in your life? It changes the landscape of our lives. Acts 1:8, Jesus says this to the followers that were with him. He says, but you will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling everyone about me everywhere. He said in Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power, with dunamis from heaven. Understand this. Dunamis, the power in you, is a power from heaven. It's not an earthly power. It's not your power. It's God's power in your life. See, without the dunamis actively working in our lives, we have no power or authority over our enemies, over sickness or disease, over doubts and fears. I think we need the dunamis. Yeah. I think we need the power. As in 1990, the prophet Slap said, I've got the power, right? Listen, why don't you go ahead and say that? Say, I've got the power. Come on. Come on, that was it. About five different keys going on too. I loved it. Some people sang it, some people spoke it. Doesn't matter, but it doesn't deny the fact that there is power inside of each of us. So Paul's going, hey, I wish you could understand the dunamis that's in you. Next, he goes to the second word. I wish you could understand the energia that's in you. He uses a second Greek word for power called energia. Say this after me. Say, energia is in me. Energia is in me. It's in you. Energia is power in action. As believers, we have a power in us that calls us to action. Energia is actually where we get our English word energy from. Energy refers to God's energy that is now being placed inside of us. In essence, energia is God's energy and God's power in action through us. Paul writes in a couple of chapters later in Ephesians 3:7, he says, by God's grace and mighty power, energia, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. He said, because of God's energia in me, I have now been given the privilege to share the good news of Jesus Christ. See, God's mighty power is in you to spread the good news. Our Christian faith isn't about keeping what God has given us to ourselves. It's about allowing what God has given us to actually be shared to the world and those around us. In essence, let me say it like this. The power of God is in you to get through you. It's not meant just to go, oh, I feel good. I get the Holy Ghost shakes. No, it is for that. But once it gets in you, it's got to go through you. I love powerful altar times in the Holy Ghost. I desire powerful altar times in the Holy Ghost. But when the power of God hits me, it's not just for it to hit me. It's that I am now charged up with the energy of God for the power of God now to go through me to my world on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Thursday and to my family and to touch them. It's that God's power is in me to get through me. See, the power of God is in you not to give witness to yourself, but to rather give witness to Jesus. What did Jesus say in Acts 1:8? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to what? To be my witness. The word for us right here, witness in Acts 1:8, is a Greek word martus. It's actually where we get our English word martyr from. This word martus means eyewitness. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be the eyewitness of who Jesus is. Did you know that you and I are sometimes the only Jesus that people are gonna see? And we got the power inside of us, the energia inside of us to be the eyewitness to the world of what Jesus is like. See, it is too costly for us to give the world a powerless God. It is too costly for us to give the world an unloving God. It is too costly for us to give the world a God that can't bring peace to their circumstance, can't heal their disease, can't save the child that is lost. We gotta be a people that are full of the power of God, so that when people look at us, they see and get an eyewitness of who Jesus is. It's the energy of God in you that makes you an eyewitness example of who Jesus is. You know, sometimes we make excuses. Well, you know, I'm just not saved enough to turn the other cheek. The Lord's still working on me. In my sanctification process, I can't turn the other cheek. Listen, you got the energia of God in you, the power of God in you to do what Jesus would do in that situation. Well, you know, I don't have the strength in me to forgive them at the moment. You have the energia of God in you to be the example of Jesus Christ. See, the power of God is in you so that you can be the eyewitness of Jesus that others need to see. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Not in your own might, but God has given you the tools that you need to be an overcomer in this life, on this side of glory. And it is the power of God that is in you, the energia of God in our lives. Energia is power in action. The third Greek word that is used here in the writing to describe power is this Greek word kratos. Now say this after me. Kratos is in me. It's time that we go, man, sometimes our heart and our mind are disconnected. Sometimes, oh yeah, I believe the power of God's in me. It says it there, but we don't really act like it's in us. And speech is something that we are able to, as we say, the kratos of God, the power of God is in me, that we're speaking it in faith so that we can then begin to believe it at a deeper level. Yeah. Kratos means this, dominion and power. Whew. It gives the image of the ruling might of a great king. It's the exercise of ruling authority. See, the kratos, the power of God is in you to bring you under his dominion. To bring you under the rule of a great king. There's a mark in you of God's power that sets you apart for his kingdom. You're no longer ruled by your own selfish desires, by your own flesh, but now with the Kratos of God, the dominion of God, the power of God in you, you don't have to be controlled by your sin nature anymore, because you got the same power that raised Jesus from the dead in your life. So you have power to break off those generational ties. You have power to break off that addiction. You have power to break off those thought patterns and those attitudes. Why? Because the Kratos of God is in you. So we're now living under the dominion of God. His dominion is actually put into our lives. Colossians chapter 3 says this: since you have been raised to new life with Jesus, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Verse 3 says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Philippians 3:20 says that we are citizens of heaven. We are now under the dominion of a kingdom that is greater than the kingdoms of this world. We are now under the rule and the dominion and the kingship of God Almighty. Well, what does this mean for our lives? What does this mean for me? Since we are under the rule of the kingdom of heaven through his power in us, we get to set our sights on the realities of heaven, not the realities of earth. We've died to this life. We're now alive in Jesus. What does it mean that we have been marked by God for God? That now everything we do, we get to have heaven in mind. We get to have the kingdom of God in mind. Now that we live under the dominion of God's kingdom, it means we also live from the dominion of God's kingdom. From his provision, from his joy, from his peace. See, in your life, there's two competing realities, as Colossians 3 said. There's the realities of heaven and the realities of earth. See, earthly reality is this, is everything we see is temporary. Everything we see is present. You can't see what tomorrow holds, and you can't go back and relook at what yesterday held. You get to see what today holds. It's the present. It's temporary. And everything on earth has an expiration date and is decaying to death. Like everything is going to return back to the ground. You and I, we're going to return back to the ground. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Like we are literally returning and decaying. From the moment we're born, we have an expiration date that leads to the end of life. So the earthly reality that we see, everything that we face is temporary and is under the curse of sin. But there's a reality of heaven that Colossians 3 talks about. Focus on the reality of heaven. Well, what is this reality of heaven? It's God's reality where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. God's reality is eternal. There is no yesterday or today or tomorrow. It's eternal. God stands outside of time. And did you know that what exists in heaven has no expiration date on it? Doesn't have an expiration date, and it's not decaying to death. Right. Ephesians 1:21 says, now Jesus is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He's going, Jesus has been placed in authority and dominion that is greater than what you see with your physical eyes. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to write this down. I want you to ponder on it today and this week. Just because it's true doesn't make it truth. What we see with our eyes is true, but what we understand with God's word and what exists in heaven is truth. When we are diagnosed with a disease, or we get a bad report from the doctor, or we have financial trouble in front of us, it is true that that is happening. Some people would say, "Oh, it's all false. So I don't have this. I don't have." No, it's true. It's true. But it doesn't make it truth. Truth isn't denying reality, it's partnering with a greater reality. Oh, come on, that's a place to shout. I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Listen. Truth isn't denying the circumstance in front of you. Truth isn't going, "I ain't got no money, you know, so I'm not going to go out and work hard and try to get more money. God's just going to supply it." No. Just because it's true, it is true. It's not false that the bank account might be a little low, but the truth is that I'm under the provision of God. And when I do my part, when I work hard, when I do my part, and I work long hours to try to figure out how to make more, God is going to take care of me. I live under his provision. Just because it's true doesn't make it truth. And we have the option to see through the lens of God, the lens of the dominion of his kingdom, the lens of his provision, the lens of his healing, the lens of his abundance, or we can look at things through an earthly perspective. But I've come to tell you today, you have the dominion, the power of God in you, so that you can say, if it exists in heaven, I'm going to say it can exist in my heart today. I can have peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because it might be true I'm walking through heartbreak, but truth says there's peace that surpasses all understanding. I wish, come on, are you getting it today? Are you getting it today? See, when you live under the dominion of heaven, there's something in your life, and there is something in your life that does not line up with his kingdom. You have the power to bind it in Jesus' name. Right. Now listen, growing up in a Pentecostal church, Sunday nights, come on somebody, we're all for binding some stuff up and loosing some stuff. This was like, man, we'd go after it, and we're gonna get into a moment about this. But listen, if when we live under the dominion of God, the dominion of heaven, his provision is yours. Right. Jesus said, "Why do you worry about what you're going to wear? If you can have food, God takes care of the little birds." Because you're living under a new dominion, a new kingdom. Not what you see physically, but what exists in heaven. When there's attitudes in your heart and attitudes in your life that aren't from God, you can bind them up, meaning they don't belong in heaven, so they don't belong in you. There's sickness in your body, bind it in Jesus' name. Depression in your life, bind it in Jesus' name. Why? Because we are living under the dominion of God. Yeah. Just because it's true, and it is true. I'm not saying it because there's many that will teach this that would say, you know, just ignore everything that's happening in front of you. That ain't, it's true. There's a reality of earth and a reality of heaven. But it doesn't make it truth. And we want to partner with truth in every area of our lives. Amen? Number four, the fourth Greek word that Paul uses, he says, man, I wish you could understand this power, this power, this power. Now to bring it home, he uses a Greek word, ischus. Say this after me. Say, ischus is in me. Ischus is where we get our English word force from. Ischus is the ability to overcome immediate resistance. I don't know what's coming against you in your life, but what I do know is that there is power in you to overcome the immediate resistance that you're facing. I don't know what impossibility stands in front of you, but you have power in you to overcome it. I don't know what challenge you find in your way, but I do know this. You have the ischus of God, the power of God to overcome immediate resistance. Ischus power is a power of overcoming. Did you know your stature through Jesus is an overcomer? That is who you are in Jesus. But there is going to be struggles in life that come your way where you're going to have to use the itches of God, the power of God, to be an overcomer that overcomes. And you're going to have to overcome some things in your life. You're going to have to face some trial in your life. But it's the itches of God, the power of God, that says, I am an overcomer and I will overcome what is happening in my life. In Ephesians, Paul ends his letter in chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 with this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Guess what that Greek word is? It's just. Put on all God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We have power over external things by internal strength. The ischus of God, the power of God in you, the internal strength that he gives us power over external things. This brings us back to being under the dominion of God, the dominion of his kingdom, that if we're under his dominion, power, and kingdom, all other powers are inferior. Now, what's fascinating about the Bible is all throughout the Bible, it never tries to discredit the power of the enemy. Moses, God says, put your staff forward, snake fall, you know, turns into a snake with Pharaoh, let my people go. It's a little context, right? Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, the Pharaoh's people did the same thing. The enemy has power, but it's an inferior power. It's not a power that can even really give a fight to our God. It's not that the enemy doesn't have power and isn't going to come against you. He does. But there is a greater power that is in you that can overcome the enemy. Jesus hasn't, you know, like, it's never been a close game with Jesus. It's never been like bottom of the ninth, 7-7, you know, ready. You know, is Jesus going to pull it out right here, man? Is it going to be a strikeout? No, listen, the power of the enemy is an inferior power. And when God's people begin to understand that the power that is in us is greater than the power that's in the world and in the things of the earth, the power in you is greater. Watch what would happen. It's not even close. There is an inferior power, but we have power over all the inferiors. There's internal strength in you to overcome the external circumstances around you. And this word ischus is where we get our English word force from. There's a forcefulness that comes with ischus's power to overcome. Ischus means this: you overcome by force, with force. That there's, get the image that gives. You don't overcome by being stagnant and doing the same things that kept on failing you over and over again, but you overcome by force, by moving forward in faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. There are things in our lives that we can only overcome when we get the force of God. We forcefully advance it. The kingdom of God forcibly advances against the powers of the enemy. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers, this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Listen to me when I say this. There are things that you are destined to overcome, but it comes from forcefully engaging in spiritual warfare. Well, I don't know why I'm still circling the same mountain time and time again. I'm falling the same sin time and time again. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to say, I got to get some better accountability in my life. I got to make sure I'm positioning myself better. I got to get in church more. I got to be around Christ. Father, I got to get in the presence of God and the altars of God for the power of God to do something in my life. You're destined to be an overcomer. But if you don't forcefully use the power of God that is in you, you're going to keep circling the same mountains time and time and time again. It's time once again that we get sick and tired of the devil robbing our joy, destroying our families, controlling our children, and we take a stand in the Spirit of God. To bring it back old school, we got to bind it and loose it. We got to bind the thoughts that are not of God and loose the thoughts that are of God.
Yeah, that's good.
It's time that we forcefully advance the kingdom of God in our lives. As the band's making their way up, I'm going to ask this question again. What would happen if we fully understood the power of God in us? The power, 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 power. See, we cannot afford, as the Church of Jesus Christ, to give the world a powerless church. Because a powerless church is a pitiful church. But a powerful church is a prevailing church. It's too costly to not show the world a Jesus that can rescue them from their sin, that can change their life. I look back at my buddy right back here on the wall with his beautiful son, Mike. Mike, just give everybody a little wave for us. We can't afford to give the world a powerless God. Mike has an unbelievable testimony. He was a drug addict, and in a moment, Jesus met him. The power of God met him, revolutionized his life, and he's had a family in church today, and his son is going to grow up in this house to serve God and to worship the Lord. Listen, the world needs to know that Jesus can rescue them from their drug addiction. Jesus can heal their disease. Jesus can save their soul. We need it. It's too costly. What would happen if we believed and understood the power of God that was in us? What would happen if, as Christians, we actually ran towards impossibilities instead of running from them? What business venture would you do if you really believed that the Spirit of God was in you and enabling you to do it? How many more miracles would we see? How many more salvations would we see? What a move of the Spirit would we see? And Paul says this, Ephesians 1:19 and 20, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's dunamis, his energia, his kratos, his ischus for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Can we all stand together? And as you're standing, just go ahead and close your eyes. If you're at home, just go ahead and close your eyes and try to get alone with God. I believe the power, I feel the power of God is here with us today. I feel him, I feel his presence, I feel his Spirit. So Holy Spirit, right now, we give you full permission to move in our hearts. We give you full permission to stir our faith so that we can understand the power that you've placed in us, you've made available to us. Listen, if you need a touch from the Holy Spirit, we believe He still touches today. If you need fresh power, fresh strength, you need that strength, that power to overcome, whatever, if you need something from the Holy Spirit, just slip up your hands to heaven and just say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I want you. There's hands going up all across this room where we're just saying, Holy Spirit, have your way. Come on, if you want the fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God, you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you with fresh power. Just go ahead and lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I want you. Come on, if you want to understand more fully the power of God that He's put in your life, the power of God that He's placed in you, you want that, go ahead and just begin to ask Him. Go ahead and ask Him. And as you're doing that, I believe the Holy Spirit is coming on you with fresh power, coming on your life with strength and rest and peace and joy.